Good morning. We're talking today about Jesus on the day that he rode into Jerusalem on the back of an animal. Any of you know the animal Jesus rode on? Do you know? A donkey. There's a picture of Jesus on the donkey up on the screen right now. Jesus riding into Jerusalem. You see some palm branches there on the side. When Jesus did that, people went out to the trees and the bushes and they cut branches of different things. I suppose there were fig trees. Figs have big leaves. Can you hold up your hand? Stretch the fingers out as far as they'll go. And you probably have a bigger hand than I do, but yep, your fingers are longer than mine. And nice big fig branches, or maybe oak leaves, or even, I suppose the apples were in bloom, and they may have had apple blossoms and apple branches, but one of the Gospels tells us that at least most, if not all, of the branches were actually palm branches, but there could have been other things too. And people put those down for the donkey to step on as it went down into Jerusalem, and other people were waving them. They did that instead of like having a flag or a pennant or something to say hooray, and we're glad that Jesus is here. And every year we do this here at St. Paul's too. So we're gonna go back to the back of the church and our ushers will give you palm branches. Take two, take three, take five, okay? Many as you want, and put some in the basket and at least take one home, or better yet, take five or six home, okay? We have plenty. We're not going to use them again after today. And congregation, follow us down and follow us up. Bring a palm branch. And if you want to, I'm going to talk about it in the sermon, take a couple home with you as well, if you like. But let's do that right now. And we'll be singing our opening hymn as we walk. So follow me down the side aisle. And when you're done, then go back and find your parents, okay? Please rise for the gospel. The Holy Gospel for the Festival of Palm Sunday is recorded in Mark chapter 11, beginning at verse 1. We're reading from my own translation this morning. As they approached Jerusalem at Bethphage and Bethany on the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples and told them, "Go into the village ahead of you. As soon as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord needs it,' and he will send it back here without delay." They left and found a colt in the street tied at a door, and they untied it. Some who were standing there asked them, "What are you doing untying that colt?" The disciples answered, just as Jesus had instructed them, and the men let them go. They brought the colt to Jesus, threw their garments on it, and Jesus sat on it. Many people spread their garments on the road. Others spread branches that they had cut from the fields. Those who went in front and those who followed were crying out, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming of the kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest." This is the gospel of our Lord. You can imagine the scene there in the village that day. It's an afternoon, the first day of the work week. There are men coming home from, some from the fields, some from maybe their shops or stores or other things that they did. Children are coming home perhaps from school or from helping in the fields. And the moms and the wives are welcoming their people back to the family, taking the empty lunch basket from dad and so forth. And there, as this scene is happening, and you've got this reunion happening in the afternoon that day, at one particular house, the dad looks up, and there's a horse thief untying his donkey. And what kind of an idiot horse thief would try to steal an animal in the bright day of an afternoon with the owner not 10 feet away? And I kind of wonder if he's more amused than he is upset about this or afraid. And he says, "What are you doing untying that colt?" And one of the horse thieves looked up and said, "Well, the Lord needs it." And then everything changes. Oh, really? Oh, go ahead. You get the impression from the things that are not said in the text that this man was not only happy to let the Lord use his animal, maybe he'd been waiting for the Lord to let him do anything for him. Anything you want, Jesus. Can I give you money? Can I give you supplies? Would you like to have dinner with us, stay overnight with us? But Jesus always stayed with Lazarus and his sisters. A guy has friends, I suppose, and that's okay. But now the Lord wants my what? My donkey? Sure, go ahead. And the horse thief, well, one of the disciples, I'll stop calling him a horse thief now. He says he'll send it right back. At the edge of the city, Bethany and Bethany were villages, and they make Cortland look like a metropolis, and they were small little towns and just a cluster of houses, really. And the disciples, the 10 of the disciples, are waiting. They're in awe of Jesus. They're wondering what's going to go on. They knew about the other two being sent to get this animal, but they didn't know if it was maybe a prearranged signal, or if, you know, Jesus had made arrangements, or if he just had foreknowledge that this would happen. And maybe with all the events that happened later this week, maybe they never did figure out which one it was. We don't know which one it was. But here they came. And I wonder if that dad with his family and maybe a couple of neighbors said, let's just go see. Honey, can supper wait a minute? Let's just go see what Jesus does here. And there they are. They bring the animal, and there's Jesus. And you can see him kind of hiking up a leg. He's gonna ride on the animal. But the disciples say, stop! And almost with the same thought in all of them, they take off their jackets, their cloaks, and they spread them on the back of the donkey. Not all 12. The saddle would be that tall. But a couple of them, and Jesus has this gorgeous, soft, lush, probably colorful saddle, and with the rest of them with their jackets off, their cloaks, they just lay them in the path that the donkey's going to walk, and the people coming from town do the same thing. People begin to see what's going on. They look, and there's Jesus on a donkey, and they begin to think, he's coming in. It's going to be like a parade of one man. Let's go see. And they begin to cut branches from the trees. One gospel says at least some of the branches were palm branches, and they begin to strew them along the way. They pave the path. The donkey took 300 yards, that's 3 football fields, down into the bottom of the Kidron Valley, and then 300 more yards, 3 more football fields, up to the Golden Gate of Jerusalem. And they're cutting branches from trees. They're bringing armfuls of these things, waving them in the air. And we wonder, I know I do sometimes, what would it have been like to be there? Of all the places in Jesus' ministry, to be part of this Palm Sunday parade. And then I notice in my life, and maybe you notice in yours, that sometimes we kind of say, I'm not going to go today. I'm not going to take part this time. Let the other, you guys go do it. And sin blocks the heart, and temptation gets in the way of what we really should be doing. It would be good for us and good for others. And we steal that away sometimes from others by just not showing up. And I know what it's like as you, sinner, and I, sinner, are deeply hurt to be reminded that we have sometimes missed the parade. But is Jesus going to push us aside when he gets to the city, out of my way? No. It's because he came for you. Sinners, though you and I are, in fact, because you and I are sinners, you and I are the ending point, the stopping point of this parade. The very sins that maybe trouble you, the temptations that bug you, the ones that maybe you don't want to confess when you pray, that you kind of wish you had a cabinet you could lock certain thoughts away in and lock it up before you fold your hands and bow your head. Don't imagine that God doesn't know about those things. He knows everything that troubles you, all the things that break your heart. and he sent his son Jesus to forgive those sins. So cheer up. Rejoice. It's not just anybody. It's not just some random stranger who handed you the palm branch and said, say Hosanna and the other things. It was Jesus himself. He invites our praise because he came to be raised on a cross of shame to end his days until he was raised in glory. All for you. This is why he came. He didn't come to take over the government of Jerusalem. If he had done that, why didn't he come with an army or riding on a horse or in a chariot or something like that? Why come on a humble, dumb little mama donkey with her foal tied behind? Why risk the indignity of having his feet just about drag on the ground behind him? Could the people even be sure that he was the Savior? The genius of the Holy Spirit surpasses anything that you or I would consider to be genius. It transcends all understanding. And something like 450 years before Jesus climbed on the back of that donkey onto that soft saddle, the Holy Spirit gave a prophet, Zechariah, some words to speak to the people that would at the same time encourage them, guide them, warn them, comfort them. You, believer, Zechariah says, daughter Zion, daughter Jerusalem, believer, don't be confused or disappointed or dismayed or afraid, even though your Christ, your Messiah, will make his entry into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey, such a lowly, humble fashion. Yet he will be received with royal honors. So get ready. When you see him on that donkey, go out there. Go out with maybe a handful of worshipers, just his disciples and a couple people from, you know, those little villages, Bethany and the other one. Grab a handful of palm branches. Get ready to praise him. Don't miss it, so that he might weep over the city and ask, why didn't you welcome me, or even condemn it? Get out there and welcome him. And this time, the people did. They did see him coming. They did welcome him. They did go out there with their palm branches and their cloaks and their voices. And they said, Hosanna. It was a worship word that maybe in their time had wandered away a little bit from its original meaning, which was something like, please save now. But it's a word for praise. The way many of us, we would say Hosanna the way a lot of people say Hallelujah without necessarily knowing or remembering each time exactly what it originally meant. But it's okay. It's a praise word. We use it to praise God, and he knows that. It actually comes from Psalm 118, where after saying, Lord, save us now, in the psalm, the very next verse are the words, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. They go together. It's all part of Psalm 118, 25 and 26. And then the psalm that points ahead to Christ is naturally something people would want to quote when Christ is coming. They follow it with, blessed is he who comes, the coming of our father David. Why would they say that? Because it was well known that there were prophecies that the Savior, the Christ, would be descended from King David himself. And the Gospels tell us that Jesus was, in fact, descended by bloodline from King David's sons. So, with these things in mind, the people welcome Jesus as their Savior, but did most of these people, many of them perhaps, grieve when they would find out, not quite a week later, what had happened to Jesus, that he was going to be snatched, arrested in the middle of the night, taken to illegal trials, by my count, six of them, pronouncing him guilty, 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 even though the Roman governor said, not guilty, not guilty, not guilty, three times, and he was crucified anyway, already on the cross as the people were going out to work, already dead before they came home again. They didn't know what was happening until it had already happened. But the terrible news was replaced a couple days later when, a week from now, it was the best news in the world. Starting as really more like a rumor, and then news. Have you heard? He is risen. We are saved by faith in Jesus our Lord. What blessings we receive from Jesus our Savior. You children came up with your palm branches and some others, and some of you took some back with you. After church, come up and get more. Come up and get 2, 3, 5, 20. We have lots. Take them home with you. And when you do, take the palm branch, and children especially, count the leaves up one side and down the other. There might be on yours, there might be 20, might be 22, 25, whatever it is. It reminds me of when I was a little boy, and there were little girls my age who would see, I don't know, what the cute boys in the class, I suppose, other boys, and the girls would go and grab a daisy. Daisy is the one that's yellow in the middle with all the white petals around the edge, and the girls would pick the petals from the daisy, and they used, do you remember? They used to say, "He loves me. He loves me not. He loves me." It's got to be dramatic. "He loves me not." And around the daisy, and because daisies don't have a consistent number of petals, anywhere between 15 to probably 30 or so, you never knew what it was going to happen, and there were all kinds of things, like then rub the middle together and throw it up in the air and try to catch pieces of that. And well, don't do that. With your palm branch, they tell us never to use a negative example in a sermon. I just did. But take your palm branch and count the leaves, and then say something different. Take them and say, "He loves me. He loves me. He loves me." Join me. "He loves me. He loves me. He loves me." There is no other answer. All the way up and all the way down. And then do it again and think of the ways that he loves you. Count your blessings. First, count the personal blessings. "He loves me because he gave me my mom. He loves me because he gave me my dad. He loves me even though he gave me my brother." And all up and down, and my grandma, and all the other wonderful blessings, and a place to live, and so forth, and my pet, and so. And then on your way down the other side, count the spiritual blessings. "He gave me my baptism and washed my sins away. He gave me Jesus who died on the cross for me. He gave me church so I can go and hear about him, and my teachers at school. And he gave me other things that I can do to praise him. Maybe I have a voice that I can sing with. Maybe I can draw pictures. Maybe I've found out, or I'm going to find out, that I can tell people about my Savior. Maybe yesterday I could go out and hang door hangers on people's houses, inviting them to come to Easter worship. Or maybe on Easter Sunday, a week from now, when we have visitors and it's too hot to breathe. It'll be a short service. I'm preaching again. You can welcome people and be glad that they're here. Or maybe he has you doing other things to praise him. Maybe you can raise a donkey that someday he would want to use. Or maybe he's blessed you with a palm branch to help you count your blessings. And the peace of God that transcends our understanding guards our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Please stand as we sing, "You Are God, We Praise You." As our stewardship thought, I would like to just call up these words also from Psalm 118, which ends with words that we use to conclude many prayers. The words remind us that part of our stewardship is our stewardship of the Word of God, and especially of our faith in our own hearts, our trust in Christ. And those words are, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures forever." Say them with me. "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever." Amen.